The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Talk 1230 WYTS, its staff, management, or parent company, Clear Channel. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of receiving an actual dental exam. Time now for Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 WYTS with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 821-1230. That's 821-1230 to discuss your dental issues. Now here's Dr. Kvitko on Talk 1230 WYTS.
Talk 1230 WYTS. Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry but were too numb to ask. Hello, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Today we're going to be talking about the story in the news about lead potentially being in your dental work, in your crowns, the lab work that dentists send off. Now, you might remember that last week we were talking about fear of the dentist and fear of dentistry. And so, unfortunately, now we have another reason to be afraid and something that kind of catches us all off guard. What we're going to be talking about is a story that appeared on Channel 10 here in Columbus, and it was written by Lindsay Sievert, and it was also picked up in the Dispatch, the Columbus Dispatch, and the title was "Lead Might Be Lurking in Your Dental Work." What Lindsay did in conjunction with a local dentist was send about 8 crowns to a dental lab. In this case, they specifically sent them to a Chinese dental lab. And then they tested them to see if they were safe. They tested them basically to see if they had lead in them when they came back. And one of the crowns came back with a 210 parts per million content of lead. And, you know, the Consumer Product Safety Commission has 600 parts per million set as a safe level for coatings on products such as toys that kids play with. And so, of course, 210 is less than 600, but the Congress right now is working on considering passing legislation that would drop that to 90 parts per million. And Lindsay reports that both Walmart and Toys R Us have decided to already adopt the new lower standard of 90 parts per million. So if you wind up with one of these crowns made in China or some other lab offshore, with 210 parts per million, that would not be a good thing. You know, touching something, playing with it that has lead in it for 20 minutes is different than having it placed in your mouth. And so, you know, my thoughts on this topic are, first of all, I don't believe in sending lab work overseas because that sends jobs overseas. I'm real funny about that. I've never owned a foreign car, for example. By way of information, my father was a tool and die maker at Chrysler Corporation, and my father-in-law was a hydraulic repairman at Ford. And so my family has always stayed with American-made cars, American-made products, wherever possible. Also, if my name is on it, it's my crown, you know, my bridge, I want to know that it's done right. I want to know that it's great, it's good product, nothing inferior about it. And, you know, I can't hide behind the fact that the product that I've used may be inferior, it's still my responsibility. So, for example, we get these products all the time where we place fillings and we place them with bonding agents. And, you know, the instructions from the manufacturer will have something to the effect that you don't need to prepare the tooth in this instance, doctor. It says just apply this, wait this many seconds, apply that, wait that many seconds, and then just put the filling on. Well, I don't trust that. I figure I'm going to go ahead and put a little bit of mechanical retention, something to make it that much better so that I know that I've done a better job for my patients, and that way I can sleep better at night. Because I know what's going to happen if that filling falls out. The patient's not going to call up XYZ manufacturer and say, hey, that bonding resin that you sold Dr. Kvitko, it doesn't work. They're going to call me and say, hey, Dr. Kvitko, that filling you did, it fell out. So this story then has opened up this whole new can of worms. It has a lot of people concerned, the dentists, dental lab techs, the FDA, American Dental Association, the Ohio State Dental Board. And what we're going to do in a minute is we're going to have a guest on the show. We're going to have the CEO of my lab, Prudental Lab in Santa Ana, California, a gentleman by the name of Fady Garabet. Now, that's Fady, F-A-D-Y, not what you thought you heard. And so in a minute here, we'll get to, we'll ask Fatty to come on and answer some questions from a laboratory standpoint. By way of information, again, about the story, so the State Dental Board decided that, in fact, I think they passed the resolution on Thursday of this last week that is indicating that they want dentists to be aware that this is a possibility. They need to ask where their crowns are being made. Are they being outsourced out of the country? And they are going to adopt a new lab form, a laboratory prescription form, that is being used currently in the state of Missouri. And that form has spots on it. It says down here that at the very bottom under the doctor's name, it says the case will be, and then you check a box, fabricated by technicians at our own dental laboratory, or another box says sent to another laboratory in the U.S. to be fabricated, and then it asks for the name and location. And then after that, there's another box that says sent to an overseas foreign laboratory to be fabricated, and it asks for the lab name and location, and then also materials to be used in the fabrication. So this is something that was being done in Missouri already. Ohio is now adopting the same form, so we've already made a big step in the right direction. But personally, I've never sent lab work to a foreign lab. I've never sent it to a lab that outsources it because my name is on it. And so what I'd like to do is welcome my guest today, Fatty Garabet from Prudental Labs in Santa Ana, California. Fatty, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, Doctor. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Fatty, a lot of people, as you can imagine, are concerned about this, and the story in the newspaper kind of indicated that people should ask their dentist this question. It says, do you make your own crowns, bridges, etc., or buy them from a dental laboratory? And what they're implying, of course, the reporter doesn't quite understand the nature of our business, and so what they're saying is, gee, you better find a dentist who does his own crowns in his own basement. Can you tell me, you know, what's the feasibility of that? Why is it not done that way?
Well, first I want, just bring it up to your attention that it's not only the problem that we have with lead that is the only potential harm. There are other materials that are currently being used by some labs offshore that are also forbidden to be used. An example is the beryllium. And a distant second is a nickel. So lead is not the only potential harm that we can be exposed to. So other things do exist, and hopefully this particular incident will bring up to our attention other potential harm. For the feasibility of having a small dental office, maybe with one or two doctors having their own labs in the basement, I think there's a lot of issues with that. There's a lot of problems. Of course, the economy of scales, OSHA regulations, tons of small problems that can make this completely unfeasible. One of them is definitely the cost. Another one is the expertise. For instance, in our lab, we have close to 100 technicians, and we have specialties in 5 or 6 different departments. And every person will do their own job to the best of their knowledge. So imagine transferring this knowledge to maybe to one lab technician in the dental office.
Yeah,
and
I think
they won't have enough knowledge on all the subjects that for building restoration like crown and bridges.
Now, your marketing pieces have indicated that the work that you provide to me and others is 100% made in America, and you've been putting that on your marketing pieces for several years now, and I'm curious, why is that? Did you have there been other questions that have arisen in the past, or you just wanted to make sure that we knew we were getting the absolute best quality?
Well, definitely, you know, keep the American jobs in America. This is something that everybody understands. And like you said, since our first ad that we produced 7 or 8 years ago, we always put proudly made in the United States. And another thing that I want to share with you, in our in-house training material, the first page that we have explaining, you know, our core competency for Prudential Lab, we say we don't outsource. If we do it, we know it, we do it. If not, we're not going to do it. And we don't believe in outsourcing. Unfortunately, this is a global market, and a lot of companies will believe in outsourcing. The market forces will force you, will drive you to go outsource to another lab in the United States or outside. But we believe that, like you said, you want your name on it, and you want to be able to control the process. The same thing with us. We do it. We have our name on it. It's proudly made in Santa Ana, California, and the material is, you know, is selected by the by a list of approved material from OSHA. The process is ISO compatible, and you know, we're very proud to have our crowns made in the United States.
That's a U.S. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, again, I'm not against, say, outsourcing, but this has to be regulated. Since we discussed this case, you know, I think, a couple of days ago, amazingly enough, it looks like this case did strike a nerve in the whole industry. In the last 2 days, I received probably a dozen different requests or surveys from other dental offices like such as yours. And it looks like the ADA, the American Dental Association, is circulating some kind of survey, and the doctors are copying them and sending them to us. The survey is just to make sure that the lab that they're working with, meaning, you know, like our lab, do you outsource any part of your work into other lab? If you have specified what works of mine is outsourced and so on. So it looks like there's definitely an awareness to the problem. And ADA modestly is reacting and helping the doctors to at least define the problem and see if the lab that they're currently working with is outsourcing to China or other destination. So that thing, this is definitely a step in the right direction. And I don't know if you remember a few years back, 2 to 3 years back, our lab and a couple other labs in Southern California were trying to push through the ADA, the Bill of the Patient Bill of Rights. And, well, I think it's the right time also to revive this project and bring up to the table, you know, this new concept or this existing concept of a couple of years ago,
yeah,
and renovating it and promising certain tough criteria in health, in production, in packaging, all the steps of production, and, you know, promise the patient that they have to expect a certain type of metal, certain type of production, certain production environment, certain,
yeah,
packaging, deliveries, and so on.
I think
and
that's a great idea. I think that's a great idea. Hey, Fatty, can you hang with us until after the break? Because I want to get some more. I want to get some more information from you. This is very good information. If you have a comment, we'd love to hear from you. Call us at 821-1230. That's 821-1230. You can also send us an email to dentallyspeaking on talk1230@yahoo.com.
You know.
Talk 1230 WYTS, you're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Before the break, we were talking to the CEO of Prudental Labs in Santa Ana, California. It happens to be the dental lab that I send my crowns and bridges and veneers to. And I send them there because they do great work. I've been there 3 times. In fact, I want to talk to Fatty a little bit about that aspect, dentist oversight of the lab work that they do send out. So, Fatty, thank you for staying with us through that break.
Sure.
In fact, that's the next question I had. Well, first of all, let me go back. As a U.S. lab, aren't you obligated to use only FDA-approved materials?
100%.
All right. 100%. And do you think that, would you say that it feels like unfair competition to have to compete with the labs that are outsourcing to China?
There's no question about it, again. But we're not going to cry foul. We're not going to say anything. The market forces eventually will set this up.
Right.
There are other things also that are of concern, like liability insurance. That's a very, very, very tough topic for us. Being in the United States, working in Southern California, we adhere to the regulations of the state. We have to carry workers' compensation. We have to carry product liability. What happened to those labs that are in China? I don't think they will occur at the expense of the workers' comp, nor of the product liability.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely, I think it's pretty well known, it's more expensive doing business in the U.S. than in other countries because of all that regulation that we deal with on a daily basis.
That's a good point. And especially with the backlash that we, you know, after discovering lead in some of those, in a big percentage of those crowns, what happens to the product liability? Who's going to suffer? Who's going to pay? And I think the first problem that's going to happen, we will be forced, we as production labs in the United States, would be forced to bring up our insurance just to cover the problem with the industry. I don't think the Chinese labs or the Malaysian labs or the South American labs will have to suffer that. We will suffer. And going back to the point that you addressed a few minutes ago regarding having a small lab in the back of the dental office, what happens to product liability? Are you willing to pay another $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year in product liability?
Well, that's a good point. I hadn't really thought of that, and the answer would be no, if I could help it, because I think I pay enough in those kinds of fees already. Now, hey, Fadina, we're going to be having to go to another break, and please stay with me if you can. When we come back, I want to talk about dentist oversight. I want to talk a little bit about, you know, what kind of relationship do you find with the dentist that you work with? And yeah, I know. In fact, how many clients do you have? I think you told me once.
We have close to 6,000 doctors working with us now.
Oh, my goodness. I remembered it as 2,000. 6,000? Oh, my goodness.
6,000 now.
That is 6, a lot 000. Of clients. And you do such a good job. Your phone calls are welcome. 821-1230, and our email address is dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. And when we come back, a little more about this, we'll take your emails, we'll take your phone calls, and Fatty has been nice enough to say he would stay on the line here and answer questions from a dental lab point of view. Talk 1230 WYTS. Talk 1230 WYTS. This is Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, also known as Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but Were Too Numb to Ask. We're talking today with Mr. Fatty Garabit from Prudental Labs in Santa Ana, California. We are talking about the story that was this past Wednesday, about lead being found in a porcelain crown made in a Chinese laboratory. And so before the break, Fatty was explaining to us about the liability of having a dental lab in the basement of a dental office. And, of course, we talked about the economy of scale. For example, it takes a certain number of dentists to support one lab tech. So it just wouldn't be possible for every dentist to have their own lab. So although Lindsay Sievert's story kind of indicated that would be a benchmark that you might want to ask about, the reality is that just really can't happen. I guess if it did, it would probably double the cost of the crowns that we're making. Would you say that's a fair assessment, Fatty?
It's definitely a fair assessment. Again, every lab is different, and every organization has different productivity measures. But I don't know how you can apply this to a small lab in the back of a dental office. It's very tough, you know. It needs a technique, it needs equipment, it needs to adhere to OSHA regulations. I don't know how you can apply those OSHA regulations in the back of a small dental lab. Like, for instance, you have the heavy equipment, like casting equipment, firing torches, a lot of chemical that you have to handle. I know the dental office is already aware of the data of the OSHA regulations, but when you open up a small lab, you have another at least 40 or 50 different chemicals and other heavy machineries that you have to be involved with. They have different environment needs, they have different protections, and so on.
So, basically, given that, it's pretty clear that it would be very difficult, almost impossible, for every dentist to have their own lab. And so, therefore, if we can accept the fact that dentists are going to have to send their work it's called outsourcing, I guess, if I don't do it in my own office. I think outsourcing has a bad connotation, so I don't really outsource in that sense, but I do send my work to you guys. And so, it seems to me that as a dentist, then my obligation doesn't end when I fill out that lab slip and send it off UPS, because it still has my name on it. So I wanted to find out, of the dentists that you have within, say, a 5-mile radius, how many would you say percent-wise have come and visited your lab to check things out?
None.
None in a 5-mile radius? How many dentists out of state have come to visit your lab?
Probably we have a visit once a month.
Once a month by an out-of-state dentist?
By out-of-state, yeah. I don't remember in the last 5 years having one doctor from within 25 miles coming to the lab. I guess they take us for granted, but when somebody from overseas, from other states, such as like yourself, they are more involved with the labs and so on. So for some reason, you know, the people who are in Southern California feel very comfortable because of the proximity, but they don't feel the urge to come and pay us a visit.
Right.
But on the other hand, doctor, you know, I want to bring up some other things that... ourselves at Prudential, and I'm pretty sure other good and reputable nationwide lab have the same thing. Even though there are no restrictions or requirements for us to provide information to dentists, if you remember, and every time we send a case out, we send certification of metal and certification of production. These are the yellow and blue and gray stickers.
Right, they're called Identalloy. It's a it certifies that the metal is what you say it is.
That's correct. And on top of it, take it a step forward. On every invoice that we send out, on top of the certification that's coming from ADA, we have the record of the casting. The record of the casting has no bearing on the pricing, but yet it's part of our invoice. It will list what the metal that was casted, what's the weight that was casted, and it should definitely match the certification that we are sending out with the restoration.
Now, I've got to tell you, Fatty, I believe in those certificates. And what Fatty was indicating earlier is I actually got on a plane three different times over the last year and a half or two to visit Prudential Lab in Santa Ana, California, because they were doing work that had my name on it. And Fatty was very nice to pick me up at the airport the first time, and we got to know everybody in the lab. And so now when I call there, I have a face to go with a name, and so do they. And I hope and I think that when Jean, for example, gets one of my cases, he says, oh, this is Dr. Kavitko. He wants it a certain way. You know, if I don't do it right, he's going to be on another plane and come out to visit me. Am I right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Actually, we'd love to have doctors more often coming to the lab, but I guess it's not on their top priority. And we give them such a peace of mind that they don't feel the urge to come. Well, you are a very, very rare breed, Dr. Kavitko, I'm going to say.
Well, I know. I did get the feeling that the first time I was coming out, you were thinking, well, what kind of a nut is this guy? But if I'm a nut, it's about being doing the right thing and doing it well, and I understand that that kind of puts me apart a little bit. But I wanted to go those certificates that you just described, the Identalloy certificates. I had a patient who asked me, where was this made? And I told him, and he said, well, how do I know that it's really what they say it is? And I said, well, I have the certificate. And he goes, well, anybody can print those up in their garage. Now, I'm not that pessimistic.
Actually, that's not the way. Let me interrupt right there.
Yeah.
Those certifications are coming from the manufacturing of the alloy. And the main purpose of having the invoice list the casting of the alloy and the weight is you can take the crown, you can put it on a scale, and it's going to match what's on the invoice. It's going to match the weight, and it's going to match the type of alloy.
Okay.
So this is some kind of certification that's not only up in the air, and you cannot print those in the garage. They are coming from the manufacturer of the alloy.
And I think he's thinking that these days. Well, I think he's thinking these days everybody has a printer scanner. He could have like gotten a hold of one, scanned it, and said it was something that it wasn't. And again, I'm not that pessimistic, but it did certainly get me thinking that how do I really know? But what you're saying is those stickers, those things are not available to anybody. You can't buy them on the internet. You can't. Am I right?
I don't see. Frankly, I don't see anybody producing those. They come in big rolls,
uh-huh.
And they are pretty serious materials. No, people won't go to the extent of just including them or just finding alternative to them. They have the ADA seal. It's it's a federal agency, and I don't think the risk is worth producing those in a fake matter. On the other hand, there are a few other things that you can do to certify this, and maybe it's worth it once every 6 months, once every two or three, I don't know, a couple of months, is to take physically a crown and send it to another lab, to a study lab, and see what the alloy that is being used and make sure that whatever the lab is stating on the invoice is matching physically. So it's worth to sacrifice one crown to have a peace of mind. I'm even telling you on my things. When I send you a coping, I don't have a problem. We do this regularly in the lab. We will destroy a coping just to make sure that whatever is in there is correct. And we send it to a study lab that will analyze it and tell us what are the components.
That's a good idea. So, actually, to be honest, I may want to get the name of one of those labs from you, maybe
mm-hmm.
off the air, because I know that the TV folks, Lindsay Siebert, they found a testing lab in Cleveland, although they didn't give us the name. Lindsay's actually going to be my guest next Sunday on the show to talk a little bit more about the research that she did. But, yeah, I would be more than happy to take, for instance, I'd probably take a case, maybe one that we've already done, you know, last year, a model. And just send mm-hmm. it off as though it was a new case, get mm-hmm. it back. Obviously, if I'm willing to spend the money to fly out there three times, I'll spend the money to take a crown and have it made and then destroy it, you know, if it just as a test.
The lab that will analyze the coping will return back a certification of the content of the alloy. And, what a nice surprise. How happy would you be when you're going to discover that whatever was on the invoice is definitely what was analyzed in the lab?
Well, I would be happy, but I also I kind of expect that. I think I'm working working with you guys on purpose. So for me, it would be like I knew it'd be that.
I'm being facetious and cynical. I think you'd be happy. That's the least you can expect.
Right, exactly.
But we do this regularly. We do this every once in a while. We take we work with 20 different alloys, and we want to make sure that the alloys are presented correctly. For a couple of reasons. One of the main reasons why we want to make sure that the alloys that are used are not mixed up between the different cases is because maybe even the doctor is asking for one type of gold but not the other, is because some trace element on one type of gold can be the patient can be allergic to. So it's not only for the content of lead or beryllium or nickel, it's for allergies. And because of the 20 type of alloys that we are using, we want to make sure that our internal mechanism are capable of detecting that this is the right alloy for the right case and bring down the mix-up to zero level. And we are, since 5 or 6 years ago, Presidential is very proud to institute this kind of internal mechanism where we physically take crowns from production randomly, we break them, we destroy them, and we send them back to the finding lab.
Well, that's
we get the analysis done.
Yeah,
I'd be very happy to share the some of those results with you.
Oh, that would be great. That would be neat, especially today. We have, I'm looking at the story that Lindsay wrote, and it says that the use of improper materials might not be limited to overseas manufacturers, because it says even in the United States, they point out the FDA exercises little control over the manufacture of dental prosthesis. The FDA has the statutory authority to regulate any U.S. medical device maker that is qualified, quote, qualified to place a product on the market, end quote. However, the agency's interpretation of, quote, qualified, end quote, producers doesn't include dental labs. So apparently there's this this little loophole where dental labs aren't falling under the auspices of oversight by the FDA. And it says, therefore, dental labs don't have to register with the FDA unless they have overseas operations. So I think early on you were saying that you think that that labs ought to be registered, ought to be regulated in that regard, and what that will do is keep the quality high, keep the unfair competition down, or eliminate it, which I think would be great, and then we can all maybe rest a little easier. We have about a minute before we go to a break, so if you can't answer that in a minute, I'm going to ask you to kind of hang on again through the next commercial break. But what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think already some of the states, like Kentucky, Texas, and I think Alabama, these are the two on top of my head, they already are requiring every lab that is doing business in their respective state to be registered in the lab board, something that we are very, very happy with, and it will at least put some fairness in the market, but at least put the same level of playing field for everyone. So hopefully we're hoping that all the state will institute something like this, where before you send your lab work to a state, register with the state so the state will know who we are, what kind of work we do, what our track record is, and so on. So it's a small trend emerging in the last couple of years. Actually, Kentucky was the first state to do that maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Kentucky? I would love to see. Kentucky was?
Yeah, it was the first state, but it's a small emerging trend. We're hoping that every state will follow this up, and any lab that produces medical devices that are definitely should fall under the FDA regulations, but also at the state level, we should register to provide background information and the material that we use and the production that we are producing the coping.
Yes, I definitely agree, and I think that I would sleep easier at night, and I know that you would, knowing that you wouldn't have that unfair competition, and I know the patients would. So we're going to go to a break again. You're listening to Talk 1230 WYTS, Dentally Speaking, with Dr. Kovitko. And when we come back, we'll take your phone calls, we'll take your emails. Our number is 821-1230, that's 821-1230, and the email address is dentallyspeakingontalk1230@yahoo.com. Talk 1230 WYTS. This is Dentally Speaking on Talk 1230 with Dr. Kovitko. Today we're talking about the concern about the lead being found in dental work and dental lab work, specifically porcelain. We're speaking to Mr. Fady Garabit from Prudential Labs in Santa Ana, California. And what we're commenting on is a story that was written or appeared on Channel 10, 10 TV here in Columbus, and then picked up by the Columbus Dispatch last Wednesday, and then a follow-up story on Thursday. So before the break, we were talking about the certifications for the type of alloy that you have, and that those are ADA approved, and that the manufacturers can only give to the dental labs who are purchasing this exact material. Now, and Fady, I want to thank you for staying with us. It's very helpful to have your insight here.
My pleasure. Thank you, Doctor.
I want to commend the National Association of Dental Laboratories, which I assume Prudential is a member of, because back in September of 07, in fact, September 10th of 2007, the National Association of Dental Laboratories, NADL, sent a letter to the Food and Drug Administration, basically alerting them to this very concern. And it said that, you know, about something in the neighborhood of, well, it says that these dental devices, these crowns, make up about $5.5 billion of the $80 billion in annual sales for dentistry in the United States. And although there was a little bit of a concern that, you know, the National Association of Dental Laboratories was trying to kind of protect turf, they were trying to alert us to this very problem that has since we have since discovered. And it says that if you focus the price on dental devices, it's driven by dentists seeking to lower the cost, because partly because of reimbursement levels set by dental insurance plans, and an increasing demand for services by U.S. patients, predicted to double by 2015, which corresponds with the declining percentage of dentists to U.S. citizens and a decreasing number of U.S. dental laboratories and dental lab technicians in the workforce. So one of the questions I have is, why would you say the number of labs and dental lab technicians is declining at a time when the increased the demand is going up? What would you say? I'm a little confused by that.
Well, actually, it's I think you just said it a few seconds ago. It's the industry is not as profitable anymore, primarily because of the insurance reimbursement are so low. They're constantly driving the cost down. And there's a couple effects. You have to know that the industry is comprised probably of 14,000 different dental labs. Out of those 14,000 dental labs, I think there is less than 1 or 1.5% where they have more than a dozen employees. So it's a lot of small mom-and-pop shop, like what the story said, that most of the labs are small and tiny compared to larger manufacturing and production facilities such as ours. So I think what happened, there's some kind of triage in the industry, and the smaller labs are bound to disappear. Unfortunately, you know, this has always been like an entrepreneurial and artistic work, but the business is the economy or the industry is driving those little labs out, and they cannot compete. The only way we can compete is by increasing our productivity and doing the economy of scale and making sure that we can compete locally with the other labs, and of course, internationally, with the labs that don't play with the same rules that we're playing here in the United States.
Yeah, and in fact, their own letter here indicated what you said, which is a typical dental laboratory in the U.S. employs only 3.5 people. I don't know. I wouldn't want to be that half person, but anyway, maybe they get half a chair. Now, there's one more aspect that comes out that at least came to mind, and I know that you guys have what is called CEREC InLab. Now, CEREC is spelled S-C-E-R-E-C, and a lot of dentists, me included, have purchased the CEREC system. The CEREC system is an in-office crown. It's a computer-based machine that you scan a tooth. It sends information to the milling machine, and that particular in that instance, we have the porcelain sitting in our offices. Well, we think we know where it came from because it
well, actually, I'm glad you brought up this particular subject, if I interrupt.
Sure.
There is a bigger problem with the blocks than there are with production overseas. There are probably a good, I don't have the right statistics, but I'm going to just go on a limb here. Probably more than 50% of the blocks that are being currently used in the United States are not manufactured by the appropriate manufacturing, are being done overseas.
Whereabouts overseas are you? Do you know?
Well, primarily China is. We are bombarded every single day. The not only because of the fact we have a CERC machine, but we do have five or six other different CAD-CAM systems that help us to produce CAD design copings. We are bombarded via emails, faxes, by salespeople, and so on, to buy blocks for the same machines that we are currently using, including the CERC, where the blocks are.
Are you saying they're knockoff brands, so to speak?
Correct. They're just basically blocks of porcelain that matches the block of porcelain that we buy from the manufacturing.
Okay, so if I buy my blocks from the same dealer that sold me the machine, I'm pretty safe. But what you're saying is you get these solicitations from companies that are saying, we can sell CERC blocks to you.
Mm, that's correct. And let me tell you where the problem is. Probably your typical block, if you buy it from your dealer, costs, let's say, to round it up, $50.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese manufacturer are offering the same blocks for $2 and $3.
Oh, wow.
It's that big of a difference, yeah.
For me, it's got to have quality. I would not ever do that, but I know that that's not necessarily the prevalent feeling out there because of the strains of the cost of, like you said, the dental insurance and the reimbursement levels. But I didn't even know there were pressures out there. I thought the CERC was kind of a safe zone, that as long as I was using CERC, I was fine. But what you're saying is as long as I buy it from the manufacturer of the machine,
I can be assured. I've seen some of the blocks that have even the logo of the manufacturer stamped on these fake blocks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But is there a chance that I buy them from my manufacturer and they could be fake, or is it just I would have to know? I would have to know because
you
pay $2 a block.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
So I as a dentist or somebody, I couldn't hide behind that. So a patient then could say to their dentist, all right, you have CERC, so you have these porcelain, you're not outsourcing, but are you sure you got your blocks from the reputable supplier? That's a fair question?
Yeah, that's the question, and okay. Of course the same thing. Hopefully you can do the same thing that we do. Every coping that is produced is traced back to a batch of powder for the porcelain.
Okay.
Even though we don't submit back to you like we do with the alloys, we submit the ADA certification, but in-house we took a step forward many years ago to link every coping that we have to a batch of porcelain. For many reasons, porcelain is produced from nature, and it's being used, broken down into powder, then mixed with the different type of chemical agents, then sold to us as powder to be mixed with water to produce the coping or, the porcelain layer on the coping.
Hey, Fanny, so, I'm going to ask if you can finish your thought in just a minute. That is very interesting. I really want to hear this because I didn't know. I'm learning as I go here. We do have to go to a break. Please remember your thought because I want to finish it up here. You're listening to Talk 1230 WYTS, Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. We'll be back after the break. Your calls will be welcome, 821-1230. That's 821-1230.
So hear me when I'm saying, smiling faces sometimes.
Talk 1230 WYTS, this is Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Just so that you know, this show will be podcast at www.talk1230wyts.com. You can hear this show and previous shows by going to that website. That's www.talk1230wyts.com. Today on the show, we've been talking to Mr. Fatty Garabet from Prudental Labs in Santa Ana, California. That's my Crown & Bridge Dental Lab. They do a great job. They have this wonderful computer program that I believe Fatty actually wrote the program that monitors the quality every step of the way. To me, I wish I could have him come to my office and computerize my office that way. We have a couple of minutes here before the end of the show, and Fatty, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you. We're talking about porcelain. We actually have about 1 minute, maybe say 30 seconds instead. Can you wrap up that thought and give people that sense that of security that we're looking for?
Sure. I hope that we can use the same tough criteria to select the alloy to be applied also to the ceramic or powder. And I can assure you, starting Monday morning, we will publish on all our invoices the batch number of the powder porcelain that was used and the brand name and where it came from which manufacturer. But we definitely step in the right direction, and hopefully can include this in the patient bill of rights. We owe to the patient information. This is the age of information. We have to share as much information that we can with the dentist, and with the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Just to put everybody's mind to ease, sharing the fact where the person came from, which reputable company we use, and how it was manufactured, would definitely put a small peace in the mind of the patient and of the dentist and move the liability away from us.
Yeah, and I really appreciate what you guys do and the care that you put into your fabricating of my dental work.